Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Here we go. Final seconds.
Clutch is his name. Talking sports is his game.
End zone. Touchdown with no time left.
Pushing the limits.
They win on the last play of the ball game.
There are no limits.
Are you kidding?
Who can you count on to make the last throw or shot?
Wow, and the game is over.
Mikey Clutch. This is the final play.
Unbelievable.
We are back. We are back. Welcome into Final Play with Mikey Clutch. I am your host, Mikey Clutch. We are into week four, coming off another good Thursday night football game with the Cardinals and the Seahawks. Good game. It wasn't so close up until the fourth quarter when the Cardinals made it interesting, but we'll get into that. We got some rookie watch, which noticed something. Somebody stealing my segment on the TV. We got an Erling game. Game in Erling, Dublin. We have the Vikings against the Steelers. And then we have how the turntables. I'll talk about my 49ers. A couple games to watch. Just two really big ones that I'm really focused in on. And then coming off another 2-1 week. Holy hot start, Batman. We are 6-3 on the debt-free pick three so far this year. So I will give my strong picks. A little teaser. All favorites this week. All big favorites. Might bite me in the ass in the end. Could be our first losing week. But I don't know. Even though these numbers are big, I like these teams and coming off last week's spot. But first, let's get into that Thursday night football game. Seahawks-Cardinals. Kind of a wild finish. Cardinals, they were down in the fourth quarter. I mean, listen, this Seattle defense, I've mentioned, they are really damn good. This is a fucking phenomenal Seahawks defense. They get to the quarterback. They had 6 sacks, really pressuring Kyler, containing Kyler as well, not letting him get on the outsides. And, yeah, I mean, I just thought they had a good game plan going in defensively. You know, they had a big lead towards the end of the game. And then, like I said, Arizona, they kind of came to life, made it interesting, scored a couple touchdowns, tied it up late. But the big mistake, and I don't understand why teams decide to do a little pooch squib kick with this new kickoff rule. If you don't land it within that kicking zone, the ball goes right to the 40-yard line. It's like kicking it out of bounds. I don't know why you just don't try to kick it deep into the zone, not in the end zone, but deep into the safety zone for the kickoff and just force a run out. I mean, you might be able to get them at the 30-yard line or before. And I get it. Seattle has a great return team. We saw them return. They just return the kicks well. But still, you give them the ball on the 40-yard line at the end of the game, it takes one big play to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and a 22-yard catch, they're already in field goal range. It got them down to Arizona 38. They run one play, get another 4 yards, and then they kick that field goal to win. Unfortunately, the Cardinals are now 0-2 in the division. That's two games back-to-back, losing on a end-of-the-game field goal as time expires. But they're showing some fight, especially in the division. This division is a lot better than people probably thought. Maybe people did think this was going to be a good division, because I still am on the side that the Seahawks are going to win the division. I would love to see the Niners win it, but just more injuries keep piling up, which I'll get into when I talk about them. But Seattle, great game plan going in. They ran the ball pretty well. JSN really didn't get going until the third quarter, and even, you know, first catch was in the third quarter. And then on the Cardinals side of things, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler just were not on the same page early to go, but they kept force-feeding Harrison, and he finally got going towards the end of the game, had a big touchdown there late to kind of get the momentum going back in the Arizona Cardinals' favor. But, yeah, it's kind of just been a big disappointment. Trey McBride great game. Give him the ball. You know, he gets yards, and he's just a big focal point in that offense. But you kind of need Marvin Harrison Jr. to get going as well, to kind of alleviate, you know, everything on McBride's shoulders and kind of spread these defenses out a little bit. But, you know, with the hot start the Seattle D started with, they only gave up 3 points in the first quarter, or first half, I'm sorry, and then another three. I mean, 6 points in three quarters is great after, you know, you kind of would think a letdown after last week just blowing the doors off of the Saints, who might still be the worst team in the NFL. But, yeah, I thought this was a good game late. Seattle just, they still show their dominance. And this team is just all phases of the game pretty complete. And Sam Darnold looking good. I think that stint with the Niners, learning how to prep, I think I kind of touched on this last season as he when the Niners played the Vikings, he kind of talked about it a little bit. But, yeah, I thought that he played well within the reins, and he's not losing the game for them, and just moved the ball well and made some big throws when they needed it in tightly at the end. So, yeah, great game. Seattle 23-20. Their road record has been great the last few seasons, even dating back when Pete Carroll was the head coach, and they're 2-0 on the road this year. They're 1-1 in the division, and looking bright with a nice little extended bye week here. Now, moving on. Said somebody stole my damn segment. We're going to get into Rookie Watch. Yeah, I was watching ESPN the other day. They stole my damn segment, Rookie Watch, and they call it Rookie Watch. But here are my rookies to look out for this week. And I'm going to start, obviously, the big one. Jackson Dart getting his first start from New York. Hopefully can give New York a little bit more on offense than what Russell Wilson was able to get him. And look it. Russ looked great against the Cowboys, and that's probably just how bad the Cowboys defense is. Yep, I'm admitting my wrong here. Been hyping up the Matt Eberflus train over here and just have looked bad every single time. But that Cowboys defense is just bad and just gets worse and worse. And you made Caleb Williams look like an MVP last week. So Jackson Dart gets a start against Chargers. That's a tough Chargers team. They're 3-0. That defense has been really good to start, and especially the pass defense, especially Derwin James. He's always been an X factor on that defense, but has always kind of dealt with injuries. And if he can complete a season healthy and doesn't miss any games, I mean, he's Defensive Player of the Year candidate number one, in my opinion, right now. He's just so damn good. And the way they can force turnovers, the way they keep it tight. And with the Giants, yes, they have some decent skill players, but Neighbors is really their number one guy. And there's not a 1A or a number two like around the league where we can see some guys help alleviate some double coverages and all that. But Jackson Dart, I think, will do better throwing the ball than Russell. I don't know if you watched the last Sunday night game against Kansas City at the end of the game. Giants had a chance to kind of make it interesting. But Russell Wilson, I mean, what was it? Three straight throws to the back of the end zone? I don't know what the fuck he was doing. That's the Russell Wilson I was kind of expecting this year. And, of course, the 1 week I go against him, he lights up the Cowboys and ruins a perfect week of debt-free pick three. But, yeah, I think Jackson Dart, listen, he's a rookie quarterback going up against that defense, but it's still an unknown. You know, sometimes rookie quarterbacks come out first game, not a lot of film on them. He did play well in the preseason. He's a little bit more mobile. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of interested to see how he performs against that defense. And then, you know, next week they kind of have a decent opponent that he could look good against, and that is the worst team in the NFL, the New Orleans Saints. So, yeah, I think Jackson Dart may be rough this game, but next week I'd probably see him light it up against the Saints. Next, Emeka Buka, my guy for Offensive Rookie of the Year, was limited the last week in practice with the hamstring, but he ended up playing. And I think he's going to have to expand his role, and he's going to be more crucial now with Mike Evans going to miss time with his hamstring injury. So Godwin was a full participant in practice on Wednesday and Friday. He had a rest day on Thursday. If he's questionable, if he gets a little playing time just to help it, but it just sucks. This is a tough game going against Philly. And with not a full, healthy, 100% ready-to-go receiving core in Tampa, it might cause trouble, and they might be looking to focus in on Ibuka and make sure that he doesn't beat them. But that game I'll touch on a little later as well. But I just look for his role to expand and get more targets now that Evans is gone, and would love to see him kind of fill that role and, just show what he's made of. Finally, or two more, sorry, and two defensive linemen here. We got Mason Graham on the Browns. All right, Browns defensive tackle rookie played really well last week against Green Bay. Him and Myles Garrett, I mean, what a force on that defensive line. And it kind of is a big reason why this defense is as good as they are. Getting pressure to the quarterback, making it difficult for them. If they don't have time, they're not going to be able to get the ball downfield. They're not going to be able to, you know, find just throw the ball and hit an open guy. So I think watch out for him against this interior Detroit offensive line. I with him and Myles Garrett, because a lot of the focus for the offense is to double team Myles Garrett and make sure that he doesn't ruin plays. That team, Detroit, coming off a huge game off versus the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night, what a showing they had. But yeah, I mean, I kind of look for him to be a disruptor, Mason Graham, in this game as well. I still think Detroit probably wins this game. I just watch out for Mason Graham. And then finally, Michael Williams, 49ers, rookie pick. Bosa's out for the year, tore his ACL. So he's got to really step it up even more now. He's got to show up, show out, and take on, again, another player because of injury, take on more load and try and have an impact and carry this defense with how many injuries this team has gone through. It's a shame. It really is a damn shame. And you know what? I'm not even going to wait till later to talk about it. Let's talk about them now. 49ers. Bosa tore his ACL, out for the year. We have Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall, both questionable. Now, Pearsall hurt his shoulder, it looked like, on that 34-yard catch on 4th-and-2 against Arizona. Huge play. Mac Jones found him. It was a great ball, great catch. And he came up kind of holding his shoulder. So that those two are questionable. Brock Purdy does come back, but I mean, to start the season, you got 11 players on IR, an additional 5 players out, and then you got a few questionables. I know Green as well, the cornerback, he's questionable. It's just, I don't know why this team's snake bitten. I feel like I come every week, and it's announcing the new injury of the week, you know. And luckily for this team, I think I said in the beginning of the season with these injuries after week one, if they can go 2-5, schedule lightens up. They are 3-0. And not only 3-0, they are 2-0 in the division. You know how great that is? To be 2-0 in the division with all these injuries, in an easier schedule at the end of, towards the middle and end of the season, and you're 3-0 as well, one of the few undefeated teams, not few, but there's quite a handful of teams undefeated, but still, having a Jacksonville team coming in on the road into Santa Clara, this could be another good spot for them. Trevor Lawrence is known not to really be safe or careful with the ball, and plus this Jacksonville team, I don't know, have they faced an offense? I mean, granted, the weapons are not there, but an offense kind of like a Shanahan offense? Not really. I do look for the Niners to play well. If Trevor Lawrence plays a clean game, there's no turnovers for the Jags, I think it's going to be a tough win for the Niners. But if they can force some turnovers on Lawrence and really take advantage and score touchdowns off of these, you know, off these turnovers, whether it's a fumble, interception, whatever may have you be. It just, please, they have to turn the put points on the board after the turnover. That you just have to against this Jacksonville team, and lean on. I mean, that you got to lean on McCaffrey again. He's huge catch last week to set up the game-winning field goal at the end of regulation. You know, the safety was pretty bad. You thought, you know, here we go, this team's going to lose in a dumb way, but they ended up pulling it out. McCaffrey, huge on that, like I said, that last catch to put him in position to kick a game winner as time expired. So, yeah, it just really is. And Purdy's back, which is great. He's a little bit more mobile than Mac. Actually, a lot more mobile than Mac, I should say. And it's just another element, especially if guys are down and the offensive line isn't as strong as it could be with some injuries on that line from the starters. So he's going to be running around. This Jacksonville Jaguars, they have a great pass rush. They can really put pressure on you. So Purdy's going to have to be a little bit mobile. And I just hope he can do it coming back off that injury. But yeah, Niners have a shot going 4-0. It does look a little worrisome in my eyes. But I just, like I said, if they can cause turnovers and take advantage, that's the recipe for me, for them to come out 4-0 and really off to a hot start. And, I mean, to get to the midway end of the season, it again, with a couple losses, and then you can get Kittle back, you can get some of these guys back. I would just love to see that. And Ayuk's not even back. And Lynch did come out and say that, you know, he's still far away from coming back, which, you know, understandable with all the ligament damage and everything that happened to that knee last year. It was a really gruesome hit. So, yeah, hopeful to go 4-0, but would not be surprised if they lose. But, hey, always going to be rooting for them, even though they frustrate me throughout the week. All right. We have a Dublin, Erlin. Have a game in Erlin. That's the best I can do. We got the Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right. It's Vikings versus Rodgers, round two, across the pond. Last year, Rodgers was on the Jets. The Vikings played them over in London. And this was the game that got Sala fired. Vikings won 23-17. And listen, I really do think that the Vikings, this is a good spot for them. The Steelers' defense has not looked great. Yes, they forced five turnovers against the Patriots last week. But guess what? The Patriots were moving the ball up and down the field on them. I mean, it was just a clinic as far as moving the ball. They just had two turnovers in the red zone. So you're taking points off the board there, and they only lost by 7. So I think Minnesota's a much better coach team. They're not going to turn the ball over that way. And guess what? They're the ones that caused turnovers last week against Cincinnati and really blew the doors off them. So I like this offense. Jordan Addison coming back from the suspension. And Aaron Rodgers, he's the worst quarterback in the league against pressure. And Brian Flores, what do we know? He pressures that damn quarterback. He's going to be sending the hounds to feed on Aaron Rodgers. I don't see where, unless they dial back the pressure, which I just don't see, because why would you, Aaron Rodgers' one weakness, why would you not exploit that? So, yes, Carson Wentz is the quarterback for the Vikings. That's going to be the little wild card, I think. But if Wentz can go out there and play like he did last week, I get it. He had a big lead to start. Defense was really, really playing lights out. Couple touchdowns on the defensive side too. So it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot. And Minnesota has a really good offensive line. So with Highsmith out still for the Steelers, TJ Watt, a lot of it's on him to create the pressures. I don't see it. You know, it's a game in Dublin. Crazy things happen, right? But I just don't think so. And Minnesota, first team to have back-to-back games overseas. They have Dublin, and then I think they're next week in London again, if I'm not mistaken. And one good thing, O'Connell, 2-0 overseas since joining the Vikings team as a head coach. So I like Minnesota in this spot. I don't think it's going to be close. I like Minnesota 27-13. Guys do travel. It depends on how if they travel well, but could be a lot of issues, you know, tire, jet lag, all this. But hopefully Minnesota comes out swinging and they really put this game away with that defense against this Steelers kind of mediocre offense, even though Rodgers has looked somewhat decent, right? So, yeah, I got Minnesota 27-13. All right. Before I get into the games to watch, let's start with well.
How the turntables.
It's the big one. The one we've been waiting for since the trade happened. It is Micah Parsons returning to Dallas to face his former team, the Cowboys. This is going to be a good one. I think he's going to wreak havoc. I think, you know, he said no hard feelings, but come on now. You want to prove to that Dallas organization that you will should have got that contract, right? And Jerry should not have played games with this man's money and try to be a little sneaky and go around the agent. I think he's going to be on all attack mode. I would love to see him be a huge game wrecker as we were so used to seeing. And I want 2 sacks at least from him. But could you imagine if he went out there and broke the sack record against the Cowboys? And the Cowboys, you know, losing CeeDee Lamb, this one could be a pin the ears back because they can go down early and they could, you know, be passing a lot more. And I mean, they're going to probably, I mean, come on now, establish the run and try and make sure that Micah doesn't have that big of an effect on the game. But like I said, if Green Bay goes up early and they go up big, it's going to be a lot of passing downs and a lot of plays for Parsons to attack. And I'm so looking forward to that. That's going to be a good one. May not be a good game, but that right there might be the ultimate turntables of the season. I'm so looking forward to that kind of juiced up for it. But that is a game to watch. But here are 2 games that I think are must watch. And the first one, I'm going to go with Philly at Tampa. Both teams undefeated. Both teams, comeback wins last week. Now Baker, first 3 games of the season, comeback wins, final drive, game-winning drives at the end of games, comeback. And Philly, last week, they were down big. They were down big early. Then they just kept fighting back. And that's the one thing about this team is the passing stats were not looking good the first couple weeks, but they kind of grind you out. And they just make plays when they need to, and they're just all about putting drives together when it matters and to kind of let the offense come to them. It's kind of impressive, and now you kind of see that championship pedigree, and that's why last year, right, they started off slow, 2-2. They weren't really putting teams away, even the bad teams, and the games were close, but they just – I think they kind of just – take their time with it and adjust and just kind of, you know, eat away at opponents as the game goes on. And yeah, they really did. And they came back. They would have probably, would have won the game regardless if the return of the blocked field goal happened or not, if the player would have went down. But I mean, how about that ending? That was what, 3 straight, I believe, block kicks. On Sunday, you had that one. I believe you had one in Tampa Bay and the Jets. And then you had the Cleveland Browns sealing the deal against the Packers. So it was just a wild, wild block kick fest on last week. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this game goes. I mentioned earlier Mike Evans out with a hamstring injury, but Godwin is coming back. I would like to see Bucky Irving get going in this game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If they can run the ball well, don't let this Philly, you know, this Philly defense on the back end is a little susceptible to, you know, plays and letting teams move the chains on them. But obviously it does usually start in the trenches, and you want to kind of attack on the ground and alleviate the pressure on your quarterback. But Baker, hell of a start to the season. And Jalen Hurts, all that dude does is win. He's just a straight winner. And I don't know, this would just be a good, fun matchup. Now the Bucks, the last six times played, and they got two playoff matchups. And this, yes, dating back to when Brady was a quarterback in 2021, but I'm just going to when Sirianni took over, and the Bucks coaching staff is somewhat the same, other than Bruce Arians not being there, because Todd Bowles was there on these teams. They're 5-1 against the Eagles, the Bucks are. Two playoff wins, and they also won last year, 33-16 at home. I think this should be a good game. Now, Tampa, can they continue the magic late in games? I don't know. It's kind of a lot to start three games and three comeback victories from behind to make it a fourth, but I don't know. We'll see. I just want a good game here. Second game. Both teams, playoff teams last year, both teams made it decently far. Baltimore at Kansas City. Kansas City squeaking out a win against the Giants. Did not look all that great early on. I know, yes, they're dealing with injuries. Xavier Worthy comes back. Baltimore, their run defense, I'm just a little surprised at how bad it has been to start, because with Roquan Smith as your defensive leader, he was so good in Chicago at stopping the run. It's just a little shocking to me. And then Derrick Henry, three straight games with a fumble to start the season. That's super uncharacteristic of him. And they're kind of fumbles in big spots. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. But luckily with Henry, he seems to get going as the season goes along, especially in the winter months and playing in Baltimore when it gets cold. He's just going to get stronger and stronger, barring any injuries. So the Baltimore loss to Detroit. Detroit coming out swinging again. How about that? That team just, the balls on Campbell to go for it on fourth. Fucking dropping it. Goff just dropping it into Amon-Ra. You got David Montgomery making a huge play to really seal it at the end. You know, the one thing I thought was a bright spot for Baltimore was Mark Andrews finally kind of got going. They gave him the ball. Isaiah Likely did get a full practice on Friday, and questionable. He played really well against the Chiefs last year. If you remember that game, opening night, week one, came down to the wire and his toe was out of bounds. Baltimore could have won that game. I do like Baltimore in this spot. I believe they're actually 2.5-point favorites in Kansas City. So Kansas City, second time at home this year being an underdog. That just doesn't happen much. I do like Baltimore, but again, I don't know. Could this be finally the week where the Chiefs get something going on their run game? I think that kind of works in Baltimore's favor with the running backs that the Chiefs have. But I don't know. Xavier Worthy, he's a good X factor. You know, it's just another element of that offense that they missed the last few weeks. So, yeah, I'm hoping for a good game here as well. I really would like to see Baltimore take it just because they are my Super Bowl pick. But, I mean, Lamar's got to bounce back. Henry has to bounce back and make a statement here. Kind of drive this nail into the Kansas City coffin here to have them behind the 8-ball 1-3 to start a season. And Baltimore, I mean, your division with Burrow out, Cleveland not being so, you know, good offensively, and Pittsburgh being where they're at, it's really open for them. Even if they went 1-3, I think they'd be okay, but you really want to go 2-2 because Bengals have a good shot at losing, and the Bengals are right now 2-1, tied with the Steelers for the division lead. I just want a good game. But those are the must-watch games. Here's the must-bet game.
We don't do anything illegal.
Debt-free pick three.
Look what I found in my pocket. Look, a year's salary right here. What I call them? A fun coupon.
This is the debt-free pick three.
On the final play.
With Mikey Clutch.
All right. We are coming off third straight winning week. to start the season here. 6-3, as I mentioned earlier. We had a good showing last week. And I think I'm just done betting on against the Colts. They really stuck it to me again with another blowout win on a team that I picked to win outright. They beat the Titans. Titans just, I don't know. They're just so bad. The Jets did cover, though, late. They had a little comeback surgence and covered the +6.5 against the Bucs. I did still take the Bucs to win, but from the cover in Seattle, that was like my lock. I felt like the 7.5 favorites against the Saints at home, that was a runaway. That covered quickly, and they did not look back. So I'm going with big favorites this week, and I'm going to start in Buffalo and that same Saints team. I just think, you know, 14.5, Buffalo is favored. Yes, that's a huge number, but Buffalo is just maybe the best team in the league. They may have, you know, the most consistent quarterback the last few years. And I just think defensively, they could really shut down the Saints offense and the Saints team. And offensively, just it'll be too much for the Saints to keep up with. So I like them. I know that's a big number, but I just see this being a blowout. And the Saints on the road are just, I mean, they're 0-3. I get it. I don't think they've covered the spread yet this year. So I'm just looking for a 4-straight game. I'm just betting on a really bad team going on a road against a Super Bowl contender. And I mean, if the Buffalo Bills are a little lackadaisical here, I'll be very disappointed. But yeah, I'm taking Buffalo 14.5 at home. Next game was part of the turntables. Micah Parsons return to Dallas. I just think without CeeDee Lamb, it's going to be really hard for Dak in this offense to move the ball. I get it. Pickens has looked good so far, and Jake Ferguson had a hell of a game. He just kept getting the ball fed to him last week against the Bears. But I just think Green Bay coming off that tight and bad loss to Cleveland on the road last week, looking to bounce back. I like them 6.5 over Dallas. In Dallas, I think it's going to be too much firepower for the Dallas defense to keep up with. And I think this is a good spot for Green Bay Sunday night. And then finally, another home team, and those Titans, I'm going to go against them this week. I got Houston 7.5 favorites at home. I think this should be about time that this Houston team takes advantage of a bad team. I like their defense still. They've held teams to, you know, very little points each of the first 3 weeks. They've really done well on defense, and this offense for the Titans just has not looked that great. They've got a lot of drops, but yeah, I mean, the Texans at home, I like, and they've given up 17 points to the Jags, 20 points to the Bucks, 14 points to the Rams, and those are all winning teams right now, with one of them being undefeated, but we got two losses between the three. So, I don't know. I just think this is a bounce-back game for the Texans. They kind of had a disappointing showing late against the Bucks or the Jags last week, but here we go. Worst team in your division, you better win, especially against the rookie quarterback. So I think D'Amico's going to have a good game plan to really cause some havoc there. So taking all favorites, like I said, let's go another winning week, 2-1. That's what we look for, because if you bet it straight up, you're winning money. You're at a profit right now. So, again, my gains are Buffalo, 14.5 at home, Green Bay minus 6.5 at Dallas, and then Houston minus 7.5 at home versus the Titans. And that's going to be another winning week. That's going to be another show. We are off and running for another winning week. And let's go USA, Ryder Cup. I know I didn't touch on it, but I'll touch on it real quick before I leave. Ryder Cup, US down to Europe. It's not looking too good. They really put a showing on. It's 8.5 to 3.5. They have a 2-0-2 lead right now with the four ball matchups right now, with McIlroy, Lowry tied with Thomas and Young. Fleetwood Rose one up on Scheffler and DeChambeau. Rahm and Straka went up on Spahn and Schauffele. And then Hatton and Fitzpatrick tied with Burns and Cantlay. U.S. needs a big show. And if they could turn three of those into wins, that's going to help their chances on this comeback to finish it off tomorrow. And that's going to be what I'm going to be watching along with these Sunday games. Let's go, USA. Let's go, Niners. Bye.